Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
That has to be, it got broken up because it was too good. And when he asked for a loan, could have gotten away with
it too if it wasn't for those meddling cops.
For that fucking silent alarm.
Hello and welcome to Your Mom's Podcast, the only podcast that's worth walking out on a date with one of Degrassi's coolest girls. I'm Caroline.
I'm Avis, and we're your Degrassi Rewatch Besties.
Today we're talking about Degrassi Season 6, Episode 17.
Sunglasses at night.
Before we jump right into this poem, I'm just going to say I decided to try something a little different. I was inspired by last week's episode to do an attempt at The Raven. Obviously just one verse because that poem is really, really long. And I gardened one strain of gardening and I was like, this is a great idea. And then I gardened another strain and I was like, I hate this, but I am too gardened to write a new poem. So this is what you guys have, and I hope you like it. And if you don't, I'm probably too gardened to care. One late night, quite despondent, my love I'd learned, weak correspondent, over many a flash of greatest fears, a once again unfaithful villain. While I floundered, weakly yearning, money in my pocket burning, forgotten, but at least I'm earning cash, but losing Dylan. I don't need him, I muttered, burning it down over Dylan. At least I won't need penicillin. It's not great. It's not my best work. You don't have to make that face at me. Fuck you.
I think that after watching the episode, because when you had read it to me earlier, not only was I doing something, I was also like not clued. I was not connected to the subject matter of this episode at all. After further, watching, I can say that one late night, quite despondent, my love, I'd learned, we correspondent is a bar.
Thank you. Some people have called me the Shakespeare of my generation. But I did, if you're familiar with The Raven, like, obviously I'm not using the same rhymes, but, like, they are in the same places and, like, where burning and earning are reused and Dylan is reused is all like based on like the corresponding spots, rhymes in the spots of the original poem. I was kind of proud of it. I don't know. I was very gardened. I always am.
Of course.
But in different ways at different times, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dylan's been gone a week and already Marco is spiraling fast, chasing the high of a winning hand. But when resident agent of chaos Jay Hogarth gets involved, Marco's spiral turns into a nosedive that finds him breaking and entering and stealing money from Papa Del Rossi. Also in the Del Rossi, Michael Chuck, Nash, Tanaka, Ochi household, Paige and Ellie are childish and mean to each other, and Suki and Kiko fade away forever. Over at Degrassi Community School for the Cursed, Darcy and Peter lead a double life of public disdain and private makeout sessions until Kim rats them out, proving once again that she is the only person in this school horrible enough to be Darcy's bestie.
Well, it's the fact that, like, they had to leave her around in order to have this plot, because there's nobody else from Friendship Club left in the plot.
Nobody else cares enough, and Melinda's gone, and Linus is gone, and Spinner quit Friendship Club, and...
Yeah. It is disappointing how much Darcy and Peter we get in this episode, and how much these lines are said with a straight face. Do you believe that true love conquers all?
Oh my god, seriously, what the fuck was that about? That line made me mad.
Yeah. Pissed me
also,
off.
Also, when he gave her that ugly ass necklace and was like, this is the key to my heart.
What is wrong with all of you?
Can be our secret. Like, fuck, y'all are disgusting. Y'all are absolutely horrible. And it's like, honestly, they make sense, right? Because Darcy's so fucking full of shit and full of herself. Mm-hmm. But, like,
she is interested in literally the mystique of sneaking around. That is it. Peter could be a cardboard boy. And if he was able to run.
If
she wasn't allowed to date him, she would be just as engaged in that relationship with that cardboard boy.
Oh, my God.
Because it's literally about the fact that, like, she hammered She hammered Spinner into a really uncomfortable Christian box and then got really bored with him because he's boring
so
now.
I
got rid of all the things that I actually liked about you. And now she
It's so tropey and gross. It's so like girls don't want a nice guy bullshit. And like, yeah, some girls don't want a nice guy. And also, yeah, actually, none of us want a nice guy. We want a good guy. Yeah. Fuck a nice guy. Because nice guys are never actually nice. Looking at you, Ross Geller from Friends. Looking at you, Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother. Looking at you, fucking George O'Malley from Grey's Anatomy. I hope you get hit by a bus.
Well, you know how Caroline feels about. Okay, well, I did not know that. So, and I will.
You're never gonna watch Grey's Anatomy.
I'm not willfully. Okay, not with any actual want or motivation behind the act. If it's the last thing to watch on Earth. Although I feel like some reason it's going to be Friends. People are going to make me rewatch Friends or watch, not even I've never actually successfully sat through an episode of Friends. So, but people are going to make me watch Friends in the Apocalypse.
I will
gonna
never
be like,
make you
Living
watch Friends.
Single was first and it was the blueprint and it was vastly superior. Okay.
I don't know if you can say that having never even watched a whole episode of Friends.
I don't need to.
I'm so messing with you. You don't need to. No,
the only value that it has added is that meme of them being like, pivot out of context.
That's such
hilarious.
An annoying scene. That's like Very the most annoying. Annoying scene.
Also, the meme of them with the, of whoever with the chicken on their head. Mm-hmm. And these are annoying out of context. So I can only assume that the actual show must be so insufferable in context. Why would I want context to things that I chuckle at without context that are already borderline not funny?
I don't know.
I'm just feeling feral and I want to talk and I want to annoy my girlfriend with some shit that I know will annoy her. If I just shouted pivot around our house, I'm dead. Like I will get tackled and like
I feel like if you just started, like, even though I don't watch Friends, I feel like if you just started making Friends references around your house, like shouting pivot, your girlfriend would be like, nope, that's it. That's it. We tried this. You having a white lady thing. It's not working out. I'm sorry. Caroline's got to go.
She's like, I'm
done. And it would be fair.
I'm done. She's exposed
you. Even though it wasn't my fault.
She was surprised that I had never seen Friends, and I have to remind her periodically that I've never seen it.
Has she seen it?
I think so, because it was one of those things where it was always on. You have to admit for a long time, it was always on. Difference
between I've watched some episodes of Friends when I'm watching cable because mm-hmm. it's one of the four things that's on.
Well, that's how she
and,
that's
her watched Friends.
No, that's her familiarity with Degrassi. It's when there was only 50 channels or whatever, you are going to gravitate towards what most people are watching. And if you channel surf, something might catch your eye. You know, there's many scenes in Degrassi that you're channel surfing. Oh shit, what the fuck is going on? You just get dropped into an episode.
Right. You're that's kind why of is that girl fucking sucking dick for bracelets.
Why is he not running in a diagonal line or away from the gun being pointed at him? Why is he just running straight in the path of the gun? I need to sit down and unpack. You won't get an answer. But yeah, so that's her familiarity with Friends. Is she knows she's watching more Friends than I have. For me, it's dun 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 dun, dun, dun click. So I don't even get to and still, I know the theme song. I know the fucking theme song because it is a really popular theme song. I would watch Judge. Well, no, that's actually that's a good show.
Yeah, I would right. watch. Why are you I would watch. I Judge would watch. Judy.
I would change the channel and watch something else. Maybe the first 48. I would watch the first 48 before I would watch Friends.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't thought about it a lot. Because, what is, I don't have to watch Friends.
You don't have to watch Friends. I have 8 million
streaming services. And only one of them has Friends.
There was a time when you did.
There was a time where it was like you either watch Friends
or you watch nothing. Or you can
watch a Ken Burns special on PBS. Yeah. And that's fine, except not when you're 14.
Not when you were wanting something funny, but not Friends. I don't want to watch Friends. Right.
And as someone who has watched Friends, mm-hmm. does it have its moments? Yes. And if I were to find it, probably if I were to find myself in a hotel room, right? Because that's the only occasion anymore that I'm watching cable.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's actually one of my favorite things, that Forrest and I, when we do, get a hotel, I mm-hmm. love, we love watching cable together and finding something weird. That's how we got into Naked and Afraid. That's how we found Man versus Bear.
If
I'm alone, I'm not gonna watch Man versus Bear, right? Because the whole point of that is you watch it with your husband and are this is the best New Year's 3 a.m ever. But if I were alone in a hotel room, I could see myself watching Friends depending on the time of night. If I couldn't sleep at 3 a.m., I would mm-hmm. probably be fuck it, fine.
Fuck it. It's, yeah. Yeah.
And I might laugh once in an episode. But I might not.
So I think another thing with that was that, the comedy, and I will say I have a very eclectic taste in media and everything, but there's just there was just a time when I was I don't want to watch this kind of comedy. It's you know how you have to be in the mood to watch something that Dan Schneider created, because mm-hmm. it's a really weird kind of comedy.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's like that. It's like, I know that this is hammy.
Right.
I don't want to watch that.
Right. And it's pretty on par with, like, all of the other sitcoms from that era, right? Mm-hmm. But, like, it's not on as high as a pedestal. So, like, if you were stuck in a hotel with nothing to watch but, like, Mad About You, mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be mad about that.
It would be slightly more enjoyable than Friends, though.
It would, because, it's like you just want to be on mic, don't you?
He wants to be in my closet.
You got something to tell
baby.
Us? Do you have something to tell the class?
Oh, we already know he's Sir gay. Chaucer. He and Pfeiffer boyfriends.
Oh, they say they were roommates.
And they were roommates.
But, you know, I just feel like here's the thing with this B-plot. I don't care about
Darcy. We should have, like, a lost the plot counter.
We won. Lost the plot. Yes, we're going to start that. That's something we're starting
right now.
And,
like, how far in? Because it was, like, 12 minutes.
Yeah. It was a little bit more than that. It was, like, 11. Because,
we could do weekly bets in the group. How long will it be before they lose the plot? How many times will they lose the plot?
What
will the longest diversion from the plot be?
How long will it? Yeah. No, let's... All right, so lost the plot counters at one.
The Price is Right rules. The winners of each category get stickers.
Literally one day, and I always say this, editing Avis is always like, man, fuck you. I'm always like, you know, I love when people put in, like, the dings, like the game show dings for, like, counters or just, like, to keep track of certain buzzwords. I wish that I had, I want to say that I would do it for this series.
Well, now you have to, because we're going to start taking bets.
For this series, I would do it. I just need you guys to participate, because Lost the Plot Counter is actually fucking hilarious.
Hilarious.
One.
Except, like, I don't know that I want to look at myself that intensely.
I think that
I don't need us to tell us about ourselves like that.
Right, because I think that we know that we're not... We don't hold ourselves to, like, a strict leash with that. So it's like, if one of us meanders off the plot of the road, the other one is like, I'll follow you.
I've been listening to season 3. I'm just wrapping up season 3. And that's the one where we tried to stick to a time.
Oh, that was funny.
And it'll be like, you'll be like, no, it's okay. I think we've got, like... 15 minutes left. As long as we're, you know, on to segments in 15 minutes, this is fine.
Yo, because here's what happened. I think I snapped on everybody because I took over editing in, like, mid-season 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think I snapped all over me and you and everybody, whoever was on the show, because I'm like, we need to stop having 4.5-hour episodes. Fuck all of you. Fuck you, Avis, in the past for talking too much. Fuck Caroline for talking too much and not reminding Avis that you're going to have to edit this shit. And just all kind of, like, anger, resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why I was like, I need, if it's a guest episode, okay, we can do 2 hours and over or whatever. But I need our regular recordings to stick to, like, we're going to talk about Deep Dive for, like, 45 minutes.
It was a tight 115. Yeah. And it was no more than 2 hours for an episode with a guest or a two-parter.
Oh, shit. Not the two-parter.
I don't think we even gave ourselves more time for a two-parter with a guest.
That's insane. No.
That lasted one season, and we said, no, thank you. We are who we are.
We are who we are. And that is, if not, I mean, so the only thing that is consistent about our episode lengths now is that you get an episode of length, because I feel like we just, there's either like an hour and 12 minutes that you get, or you get like 2 hours and 36 minutes and you take it. You just take whatever we give you. I'm so sorry.
They keep taking it. We'll keep giving it. I'm sorry, y'all.
That's fucking to quote Marco in this episode. You keep giving me your money. I'm gonna keep taking your money. Yeah. It's not.
Have we talked enough about this B plot?
We talked about it all. We hardly talked about this. I think we need to point out that the standout is Kim being like, "Bitch, this is why you ain't got no friends."
The standout is that fucking Irish janitor.
Yes,
who is maybe a ghost?
He runs a tight ass ship.
He said.
He said,
"I am taking you back to my grave if you do not stop kissing this girl with her eye fat.
They're gonna put you in."
And Darcy's
prison.
Like, "You said I didn't really have eye fat, Peter."
He was like, "That was just
like, girl, you don't know he's a liar."
And eye fat is
except
so
he says it in an Irish accent.
Eye fat is so specific.
It's such a weird.
And, like, not to body shame, because I'm about to body shame myself, too, but eye fat is a real thing. Having, like, the pocket of, like, fat above your eye is a thing.
Well, and, like, I mean, I guess that is a thing.
Is that what he meant? Or did he mean, like...
Well, you know, hers are a little, like...
She's got,
poochy,
like, yeah,
under.
She's got...
So maybe, I've just never thought about it. Like,
it stuck with
me. It doesn't not make sense.
That eye fat comment made sense to me. Because it's like that whole saying that every joke has a little kernel of truth in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're joking, but you're serious. And you came up with that. On the real fly, it seemed
real
like
fast.
Real fast, and that was probably the single best acting moment that Jamie is gonna have in this season of him being like really taken aback by Darcy being like not even being that mean to him. Well, why don't you just shut your mouth or something like that?
She's like, of course you'd say that. You only think about yourself.
Yes.
And which, like, honestly, the proper retort, because that was her response to him saying to Kim, like, who gets to decide what's safe on the internet? You. And the proper retort there was, I don't know who the fuck gets to decide it. Probably not Kim, but sure as shit not you, Peter fucking sex crime stone.
Yes, and then that would have been, then he could have had that reaction. Then he could have been taken aback, like, damn, this bitch just read me for filth.
You're just going to hold that over my head forever, Darcy?
That just happened.
It was a sex crime. You sex crimed.
You did that.
I mean, he did still sex crime Darcy. He helped Darcy disseminate.
Yeah. He was a proponent. In the sec, like, without him, the distribution part would not be able to be tacked on. He distributed, facilitated, if you will.
Fuck Peter Stone. He should not be in charge of internet safety.
As we said, he should be under the prison, under the jail.
Or part of the Trump administration. He could be the, like, head of internet security, internet safety.
Oh, dear God. Sorry. That just put me in so much distress because
he could be a Supreme Court justice.
We cannot have politics corner, but when politics is just like real life.
It's everywhere. It's everything. It's all so absurd.
It's everything. It's like we're both. Yeah. I think
Foe gets so mad every time I call the dog soup because he's like, I don't want to fucking think about Trump. Because I started calling her soup because he called her brick, and soup is better than a brick. It's got force. You can't throw a soup. Or you can't throw a brick.
You
can throw soup.
It's just
soup for my family.
You can't throw a brick.
I mean, as somebody who's not good at throwing, I would probably be able to throw a can of soup further.
I would be able to dick a can of soup. However, I genuinely don't think that's the point he was making.
No. And as a food pantry manager, I cannot endorse
weaponizing
using
food.
Soup as a weapon instead of as food. But also as a person who believes that, like, when you give somebody something, it's theirs to do with as they please.
Caroline,
it's soup for you and your family. You do what you need to do for you and your family.
Caroline recommends you eat your soup, but
or give it to somebody else to eat, or throw it in a cop to eat. I don't know. No, I can't endorse that.
I just, every time I think of that, I think of the parody video of those ladies, like, acting
the girl
out. Yeah, the girl.
The really skinny girl with the
really
pink
with
hair,
the shorts and the pink hair. Yes, because, like, you can lose it. It's just a beautiful video.
So good.
And sometimes when I need to remind myself of the absurdity, the timeline that I'm living through, I
that
go
was
and
one
I...
of the... That was one of the first ones that got me sucked into TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forget what got me sucked. Honestly, this fucking podcast got me sucked into TikTok.
Yeah, no, I got sucked in way earlier, and it was, I was working at the asset management firm, and I was out on a smoke break, and I was like, fuck it, Facebook's boring. So I hopped on TikTok and saw that and was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's a really great video. It's funny. It's puzzling. Yeah. That is a funny reason to have named your child Soup. Or nicknamed your child
Soup. Did you not
Soup,
know that?
I figured, but I also didn't know if there was another backstory that I was missing.
I love that you just figured that I named her Soup.
I mean, yeah.
For my family.
Yeah, Soup. It's just soup. It's just soup for my family. Sometimes we have
Twitter.
To laugh to stop from crying.
I had a Twitter that for like 2 weeks after that happened, that was just movie quotes, but replacing it with soup. That was actually kind of amazing, I thought.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that sounds stimulating. Two. Twice. It's the second time.
Twice.
It's the second time.
Yeah,
this
you know.
The second time. We really don't want to talk about this B-plot. Let me look at my notes.
We also haven't recorded in like 8 years. And when we don't record for a long time and we haven't been talking as much because we're fighting, guys.
We're not. We're just busy. It's hard to be a person. It is, and also financial matters and life and things. I said it's enemies to lovers, except I want to barf, because usually enemies to lovers is good, but it's fake enemies to lovers, because Darcy is melodramatic, and she doesn't actually retain that she has beef with Peter, because he has repeatedly lied to her and misled her, you know.
Darcy just, like, does not want healthy.
No.
At
no,
all. She has no. zero interest in a healthy...
Peter, you've got me. Because you're a bad boy and your parents are going to send you away. And I don't care if your mom says... how dare your mom say if I know what's good for me. Joke's on her. I don't know what's good for me. So hot.
Can I just say that, like, I felt very, like, morally... conflicted during this episode when Peter mentioned boarding school, because I am staunchly against, like, those bad kid wilderness boarding schools. I don't know if you've ever known anybody who went to one.
There was
that
one.
That shit fucks you up.
My sister went to one, my older sister, and there was also several, because I'm from PA, there was also several in the general, this, like, 10 to 15 mile radius of where I used to live, to the point that a lot of those, so there were two kinds of those programs, like the wilderness kind where you just did not see those people for a year. And then, like, as it was like a long term, like they are not in school anymore. They don't go back to regular school. Then there were people that were in bad kid programs, but they still went to regular school. And they just went home, quote, to like the bad, like a dorm style, you are a bad kid situation. Kind of how like KC lives in the, you know, whatever, but like real, like urban. Well, Casey and not great.
Lives in a group home.
It's yeah, it's like a group home, but for but without but the adoption, really. There's nothing to do with like custody or adoption. Like it's not
like
about
like you're just a bad kid, and your parents are like, I don't want you in my house anymore.
Yes. The fact that there anyway, are multiple places I'm, like that you can send your kid to are funny. So you think it's that kind of
You know
school?
What I think is the one is that Maya from Pretty Little Liars went to is up here. Because doesn't she go to True North?
She does go to True North.
That's in Vermont.
True North is a real place.
True North is a real place in Vermont.
Okay, Marlene. I see you out here.
But no, so I hate those places. I think they're horrible.
Yeah. No, those are...
if I was friends with Hatzilakos and she was like, I'm thinking of sending Peter to this, I would be like, no, don't.
I'd be like, I think that this is really a great indicator that your parenting is taking a really sharp turn. And I want to applaud you for actually doing something about the Antichrist you have raised. Claps and snaps for you, okay?
Claps and snaps indeed.
Because why have you just now realized that this child needs to maybe, like, have some professional intervention? And, like, it just doesn't seem... I didn't even think about it that... Like, I know when they say boarding school, like, it definitely could be, like, that sort of, like, bad kid residential program. I don't know why I was thinking just, like... All
boarding
boys.
School in Switzerland.
Yeah. Yeah, like all boys boarding school in Switzerland. Yeah.
Like Marco's dressing like he goes to one. This episode, I don't know
Marco's
if you noticed that.
Marco's fashion is so bad this episode. We'll talk about it in the A plot.
It's giving yeah. boys preparatory school.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say that Kim on Majorettes is some tea. What do you mean you're on Majorettes, honey? What do you mean?
The only thing, well, and not just on Majorettes, but in charge of, because she canceled it.
So
okay, you gotta remember, I didn't go to high school. All I know of Majorettes is that Adrian from Secret Life was a majorette.
Yeah, that's pretty much all I know. I know that it's dancing. So here's the thing. Okay, so I know that it's dancing. It's actually really very popular in this area that I live in now. It was not popular where I grew up. My aunt used to do color guard, which was very popular. That's what we mostly did. That's what most of our schools did was color guard. There was not majorettes. You either had a dance team, you had a cheerleading team, you had color guard. Mm-hmm. And you had the people that swung the flags and you had the people that swung the, like, the guns. And they were, both those people were color guard. So we did not, like, majorettes is like a combination of dance and baton skills, like the cute little baton that the band but you could also have a flag in majorettes, as I briefly googled.
I wanted to be in color guard the one year that I was in high school, but my mom said I had to do a sport. Tell me why she tried to make me do track. I was like, I'm not well, running,
Amy.
We're not
why?
Doing this. I played volleyball. It wasn't
Miss
that
Amy
bad.
Why?
I actually really enjoyed it.
Oh, volleyball,
I wasn't any
totally,
good at it.
Volleyball, I could totally see you doing. Volleyball is totally
right?
way more of a you thing.
Can we play volleyball on the Sosterhood retreat?
We can totally play volleyball.
Guys, if you come to Philly
also,
in June, we're playing volleyball. Deal with it.
Also, we're doing yoga. We're doing yoga, bitches. Caroline has a face right now, but I love yoga. I will be doing yoga with you, or at least I believe in stretching. Give yourself a good stretch to start off the day. My body fucking hurts if I don't stretch. That's all yoga is stretching, Caroline. That's all it is.
I mean, that's fair.
That's all it is.
Fair.
With some like, breathe deeply in, focus on that. Yeah, you don't have to do all that shit. But you could just stretch, which is what I love about I love stretching. But yeah, Sosterhood retreat, we really want to do this.
Yeah, guys, if you're not in the Facebook group, we floated the idea a couple of months back of, like, essentially we would rent an Airbnb for a long weekend in the summer. I think we decided on Philadelphia for the first one. But I might look into pricing for New England and see if that's cheaper. Either way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have, like, a long weekend Sosterhood sleepover. Brothers of the Sosterhood are also invited.
We've got two.
We're all a family.
We've got two that I know
of. And we do fun shit. And, like, you know, Avis and I were going to host a dinner and do a brunch. Mm-hmm. And, like, it's going to be cute.
Random activities and just bonding.
We're going to play volleyball.
Yeah, we're going to play volleyball. Karaoke will be a thing.
And then there'll be, like, an outing or two, which we'll vote on and, like, I don't know, we could, I haven't really, like, fucked around in Philly since I was young, so I'm like, we could go to the Franklin Institute.
Philly is very cute. But it's a lot less overwhelming a city than New York, so.
I maintain that the Franklin Institute is still dope, unless it's gone way downhill.
It is. The only thing, the Big Heart is starting to show its age. I think they just restored it or added something to it, though. I think they just, like, revamped it. But before that, the that heart, it was elderly. Other than that, everything else, they kind of rotate and they keep looking really nice. So I was there for, don't hate on me. If I get kicked, I might, don't hate on me for this, okay? I don't like J.K. Rowling. Fuck her. All right, but I did go to the Harry Potter experience at the Franklin Institute.
Where nobody's gonna, like, hate. I think it's ridiculous to hate on somebody for something that, like, I liked Harry Potter too. And you know what? I still fucking will watch Potter Puppet Pals sometimes.
Potter Puppet Pals is beautiful. I just think that when, obviously, patronizing her is not something that I do. It is really easy to patronize people that are terrible, though. It is actually easier to patronize terrible people than it is to patronize people who, or give patronage to people who are like worthy of that. So, you know, look at who you're spending your money on, guys, because they most likely are terrible. But I...
Except us, we're great. Spend your money on us if you want.
I no have pressure. All the books of hers that I will ever buy. All of the books that I've ever gotten are secondhand. Though, so it's not going directly in her pocket. I don't think she gets kickbacks from Kindle. And I also haven't read successfully one of her books on Kindle. So they're not very well written. And I get that they're magical to reread. I just don't have
until
the attention
span. Until
they're not. I don't have the attention span. I actually think that I can reread Twilight way more successfully than I can reread Harry Potter. And that's still bad.
You know what's always the hardest for me to get through, and I should have quit then, is in the second book, the car flight to the Weasley's house.
The car flight. You're like, I'm just so fucking puzzled by
it. I was just like, this is like, I was like, it wasn't even puzzled by it. It was just like, it went on way too fucking long.
Like, this is off the, you're like, I get it. It's flying, the car, they're in it.
And like, I'm not like a super picture things in my head person, oddly enough.
Mm-hmm. You have told me.
But I'm not like, but I still have a little bit of it. But like, no, it was too much. It was so, why are we taking forever? Or no, maybe it was the flight to, it was to Hogwarts, not to the Weasleys, when he can't get on the train.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. I hope everybody who has some familiarity with the second film. No, it's not just you. The sequence in the film is actually quite long.
Well, yeah.
And the sequence in the book is about twice as long as the sequence in the movie.
By the time they get whomped by the willow, I'm just like...
I was
like...
going to say, that description alone is like 2 to 3 pages of them getting like fucking bashed by the weeping willow.
Right. And it was just not the whomping willow.
The
they
whomping
got whomped.
Willow, yeah, they got
okay,
whomped.
Okay, Wiz is definitely not a Harry Potter. You were saying something about something. You were at the Franklin Institute for the Harry Potter experience.
Yeah,
and
no,
I do want to hear about this.
It was beautiful. I feel like whenever they do traveling exhibits, which is something that they do quite, I think that that's fairly, you know, they move exhibits about 3 to 4 times a year. It was great. It was very immersive. And I think anything you went to would be similar to the and I think that that's just like people.
Did you ever go to the Titanic exhibit?
My mother went without me on a date.
Miss Bev.
On a date.
Miss Bev, if you are listening, and I know you are, I can't believe I'm like gonna say this to you, but I'm really disappointed to hear that.
I was really sad.
That's just mean.
And it was on like the anniversary too. It was like April 12th, 2012.
Rude.
Yeah. Yeah, so I still have yet to be to. If you guys don't know, I'm sure you know. I'm sure I've said it on mic before. I love Titanic. It is partially my aunt's fault. If you have not listened to the episode in, what the fuck? Oh my gosh, that was so long ago now. Season.
It's
what,
the
like
season
four?
3 finale.
Oh, thank you, Miss. I'm already.
I just listened to it.
If you have not listened to the season 3 finale featuring my auntie, Jamie, give it a listen because she's great and she's my family. And I don't know that we mentioned Titanic, but she is the reason that I love Titanic so much. And I, not just the historical event, but also the film. I had a Leonardo DiCaprio thing and a Kate Winslet thing. I have a, you know, I want to go to the museum. That is something that Tennessee has
for us. I mean, there's
several,
but we should go to the one in Tennessee.
I was going to say the Tennessee one I've really heard is like quite superior. But that is that does it, no, that counts as still 3. We're still on the third part of the tangent because you were circling back to the Franklin Institute thing. 3.5.
Which I will just wrap up the tangent with saying, I know you said to me before that you would go a lot of places for me, but not Indiana. But I also know that like if push came to shove, like if I needed to be in Indiana, you know, you would pull through for a bitch. But I will say, like, I respect that, and the Indianapolis Children's Museum is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. We would have so much fun.
I believe, though, that we would have fun most places. You gotta be pretty boring for us.
Like
not.
On the Sosterhood Retreat, June 2026.
Sorry, I just logo. Yeah. Also, you could be the 430th member of our Facebook group. Go ahead and join that and join us on Patreon.
We have a free tier. We're trying
we do,
to get
but
better
don't
like
join
asking
that.
You guys to like support us and shit. Because like listen to us for free. We hear you. But if you've got $2 to $8 a month to throw somewhere, we wouldn't mind it. And there's some bonus content and you get merch packs and shit. It's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And also like, yeah, join our group and like comment on our Spotify's and shit. Like, I don't know.
We would love reviews.
Like and subscribe. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe.
Smash that
like button.
Christ.
Oh,
please review.
Even saying it jokingly.
I am once again asking for your reviews. Please review us. We have been at this for several years now, and we have 2 reviews. 3. 2.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can. I can only see Apple Podcast reviews, though. If there are other reviews, I don't know. But leave us a review wherever you listen to us if you can do that. And thank you. Because that costs nothing. That costs $0 and that helps people find us. And
it helps us so much. And it makes
it
us feel good.
People know that you like us. So yeah.
Or say mean things. And if you make me cry, I'll
please
even like
cite your sources though.
Make a video of me reading your mean comment out loud and crying. I'll do that for you.
If you're gonna be mean, at least cite your sources. Like, I don't like when people are like, oh, they were inaccurate. What were we inaccurate about? Give me examples.
Inaccurate and biased. Anyway, okay. Is there anything more to say about this fucking B-plot?
I only have to say that at least Darcy's attraction to Peter has nothing to do with Peter. It's just the nature of sneaking around. I will give her a point for taste because it's about the forbidden nature of the relationship. Like I said, he could be a cardboard boy. And I will say, and it's only because she doesn't actually like anything about Peter. That's like half a point for taste. Because if she's like, I like the hidden, I like sneaking around, and I also love the fact that Peter is, I love his personality. I like the things he says to me.
Yeah.
Behaviorally, I endorse his behavior. Things like that. Things like that that I don't know that she can really say. Or would really say. She's like, oh no, that's fucked up. Like,
you are the actual worst, but sneaking around makes me tingle.
It's so hot. It's hot. You got me, Peter, because we're in the boiling room right now. We're in the fucking boiling room, and I waited for you for 20 minutes.
The this boiling room?
The boiling room, the boiler room. Oopsie. The boiling room. We're boiling in this bitch. The boiling point. Probably PTSD. The boiler.
Probably.
The boiler room. And also, boilers are not a thing in the USA. We don't have those. Our schools don't have boiler rooms. They do not. At least we don't call them boilers. Because is a boiler a hot water heater?
I think we just don't hang out in them because that's not...
They're not accessible.
A thing.
They don't give us access. You have to have Degrassi a hall pass.
Horrible security. Horrible.
They let those kids on the roof. They let those kids on the motherfucking roof.
It's no wonder everybody's getting pregnant and doing drugs and getting fucking social diseases of the throat. And bullying each other and getting stabbed. Mm-hmm. Nobody. There's no adult supervision at this school.
None.
Except
the Scottish
Coach
custodian.
Armstrong and this Scottish. Is he Scottish, not Irish?
I don't
the Scottish
know.
Scottish custodian.
He is. He could be Irish. He could be an Irish.
I can't tell those two accents apart.
I can't
apart.
Like, tell those two accents one. Apart at all.
I'm sorry. I'm sure that, like.
Duff Killigan. Kim Possible. I just watched the Halloween episode of Kim Possible the other day, so that's why I'm. Thinking about Duff Killian.
Hold on, I have to let his highness
say.
Out.
His hiney Sachasa. Did he get in your closet?
No, he wants out of the bedroom until a minute or two from now when he's going to start hurling his little body against the bedroom door to be let in because he doesn't like to have a door between us.
Actually, I want to be in your skin. Yeah, I'm good on this, people.
Okay, great. Me too. I was good on it before it even began. And I'm not talking about our conversation. I'm talking about the actual scenes. I hate it. I hate Parsi. I hate Dieter. Whatever you want to call it, it's ugly. There's no good ship name. That's a sign.
Deeply disappointing. Deeply disappointing. As terrible as they were, Dinner is an amazing ship name. Dinner is...
Right?
That eight. But yes, so there's an A plot that I also don't really want to fucking. No, this was a good A plot. Actually, like Mr. Del Rossi all up and through this bitch spitting facts.
Mr. Del Rossi was phenomenal, or Mr. DR, as Spinner calls him.
Spinner
really
DR.
Shines in this episode too.
He does.
He does a whole lot of the like saying things wrong that he does. Like
he's
coopered up inside.
Yeah. But he is developing that like sage tone that he's gonna keep for a while. Mm-hmm. Or at least that will be his character where people actually start coming to him for advice, or he actually is the voice of reason, like specifically how he is a business owner in high school, and he's like walking around like a grown-ass man, like talking to the police like he's a part-time employee. Like, dude, he's talking I don't know. It's just very like
he's so disappointed.
Grown man in this episode.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
And Spinner's it's like, grown man and Marco's baby, and it's hilarious.
Because Spinner's never gotten to be disappointed in somebody. The last time he was disappointed in Marco is for being gay, and he's evolved past that. And it's not even just Marco, though. Like, he hasn't been able to be disappointed in anybody up until Darcy.
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
And he, like, he that high of Darcy, of like being disappointed in Darcy getting to ride the high horse again.
Mm-hmm. They're looking at you, Darcy. It is the same thing, Darcy. The way he says Darcy, he is on edge. Like, it's a Myron page that places an online abyss. Yeah, he's gone through it, and I think that's probably why he's emerging so mature. He's like, yeah, I'm just gonna focus on my business and my grades, man. Like, I can't, like, the fuck else can I do?
Oh, no, I think he just likes feeling superior to people.
I mean, I think he's learning to
like that. He's been the fuck up for so long.
Because he has been, and I don't think he's had the opportunity to actually, like, be in this position. Like, Marco has been not needed, like, nowhere near his level. And, like, I think it's funny that Marco determines his life is in the shitter by his boyfriend moving away. And he compares himself, like, he throws a shot at Paige, which I think is really fucking rude. Did you catch the shot that he throws at Paige?
Maybe.
It is, I mean, obviously I'll say it in shots fired, but he says Paige is flame out Paige is starting over.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, damn. That's one of your best friends. And you're talking about her like that, specifically the flame out part. So it's funny to me that, like, codependence has always been Marco's problem and not anything to do with how he's actually doing in life, because he's never been like a barometer of failing would be actually failing out of college and actually having no prospects of like Paige. Paige basically failed out of college because she failed that class, and that's the class she needed to stay in the program that she wanted to be in. And she's not going to Banting without being in that program, so.
And she, as it turns out, doesn't want to be a Banting girl. She wants to be the fucking
fourth, like,
marketing manager for Squatchware. And also, yeah, so were Dylan and Marco just taking up two rooms?
I guess it's insinuated that Dylan and Marco were taking up two rooms, because that... But even if you're even, we're seeing Paige move a box upstairs, not downstairs. So where is the downstairs room must be where Hiko and Suki live right now. Because we have not seen that downstairs bedroom. And this is the same apartment.
I want the
blueprint of this fucking apartment. Sorry.
For a minute, I was like, is Stacy not on set this week?
Because I thought she's that,
like, calling out from her bedroom.
From different rooms. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think they wanted us to like, they wanted to save some money on her, like, on her. They were like, we don't need her in the room to say those two lines, and then we could just bring her in for a scene.
Two scenes.
Yeah.
Because she's at the bar. Poker win.
She's at the bar being a wet blanket because that's her role this week. Yeah. I think it's funny that that Squash Designs needs a marketing manager. And I think it's funny that Paige is doing the inarguably unpaid labor. Because there's no way they can afford to pay her salary. Or even a contracted rate, I wouldn't think. Like, clearly they're making sales, but they still have to make rent. You know, they have overhead, all the shit that Dylan, whatever, Hydro. So I doubt they're probably just about breaking even. I know that, but fucking Dylan. It's the codependence for me in this episode of Marco. Like, that is what Marco, his life is over because his boyfriend moved to Sweden, Switzerland.
Fucking, it's really pathetic. Marco is really pathetic and like codependent and sad in this episode. And I love when Spinner's like, bro, when Dylan was here, we just like never saw you. Mm-hmm. And now he's gone, so like come hang out.
Yeah, like
don't. And Marco's like, I'm gonna gamble my life away instead.
He's like, I'm gonna hermit even harder.
I'm gonna steal $600 from my dad. I was like, 600 from Papa Del Rossi, Papa DR?
Papa DR. Are you familiar with the African-American sitcom Everybody Hates Chris?
Yes.
Are you familiar with the dad Julius and how he's extremely frugal?
No.
Okay, that is a highlight character trait of Julius the father. To the point the mom's like, I don't need this, my man got two jobs. No, the dad is just extremely frugal. And it reminds me of how Papa Del Rossi probably is. Like, he's a business owner. Like, he knows where his money is. He knows how much money he has. How do you think that you can just take $600?
He literally took every single drop of cash out of that man's wallet.
In that fucking, I was just like, you're just going to clean him out.
Shaking out the chain.
You're just going to clean him out. The lint in his fucking wallet, Marco. You think he's not going to notice that shit? You just don't know.
He doesn't care because he's an addict. He's addicted to gambling. No, gambling addictions are very real.
Seek help if you have
it. We do not.
Call us.
Sis. Stop it. Get Stop some it. Help.
Get some help. This is your wake up call. 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm sorry, it's a real problem. But I do like how I do like how they have him start off like already in the throes of being distracted and being on that gambling, you know, dust, because he's like in the beginning of the episode, it's not like he picks it up 5 minutes into the bitch. Like, he's already
been negligent, not gambling for a week.
Yeah, for a
when
week.
When he's
that's
sitting
enough.
There like stimming.
He's like lit, like not paying attention to key details in the security aspect of his job where they were robbed. And then Spinner's back there like, we don't want to get robbed again. Like, you would think that if he's going to pay attention to anything, he's going to pay attention to like a security briefing. No. Because he's in it too deep. That's how deep he's in it. I appreciated that because it's like him being like, I want to make a meme. Marco gets arrested. Cops are putting cuffs on him. Can I just finish this hand? Can I finish this? It is fucking crazy. It's legit like, just let me finish. Just let me bust. Come on. Just
oh God.
I think do you ever think, and this is extremely crass, do you think that when the law is like breaking up hanky-panky between a sex worker and a client, that they wait until completion? Are they courteous?
I doubt that they're courteous.
Like, nobody comes. Nobody goes upset. You're all going to jail. And you didn't come. I'm so sorry. It's a legit thought that popped up in my head. So,
my brother's ex shared a post the other day that was like, I hope your vibrator dies right when you're about to come. And like, who do I hate that much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Who indeed? I would hate to be on the receiving end of that level of hate.
Right?
No one hates me like that. We all deserve to come, okay?
On that note.
That's the fourth time. I'm clocking that. That was the fourth. That was the fourth. And I did it. Okay. Let me see. Oh, I really love the message of Marco's dad just saying. Also, I love how fake his fake accent goes in and out, but he does a really good job of trying to keep it when he's saying serious shit. But he's actually acting his ass off and he's trying. He's like, damn it, I committed, so I gotta commit. But he's like, do you think I'm stupid? Because he does a really good twinge with the accent, but he drops the Marco. Like, what are you for this? I'm proud of you. But you he drops a lot of the like mamma mia. And I really love how he's like, listen, bitch, Dylan going away has nothing to do with the fact that you fucking stole $600 from me.
Right? He's like, I do not care that Dylan is your boyfriend. That's very sad that he's gone.
That's a sad story.
That's not an excuse to act like this. My boy does not steal from his papa and break into his friend's business.
Right? You hurting people you love and shit? Like, this is nothing to do with
being
gay.
And Marco's like, but dad, I was kissing Dylan. Think about that instead.
This is probably the only plot that Marco is going to get that's not about him being gay.
It's still about him being gay.
But he's trying to make it about him being gay. When it's just about him being codependent. It's not about him being gay. He could be, again, with a cardboard boy that has no parts. Cardboard boy. If one day got a little wet in the rain, Marco would be like, why are you down? No, I'm just saying, like, Marco has codependency issues that have nothing to do with his sexuality. He has an attachment style that just is like really, really bad, really anxious. And he's like, if you're not next to me physically breathing on me 20 out of 24 hours a day, you don't love me. There's just no way. I don't feel your breath on my face. Right. It's like, do you
and
understand?
Dylan can't even send him an email. But
I feel to go from breathing on each other all day and all night to nothing, to being ghosted. He could pick up the phone. Or send an email. He could send an email. He could send a
I feel like it was still the time emails. Of like... Mm-hmm. Internet cafes in Europe. Because didn't have
internet. Yeah. And I mean, also getting like a really long email used to be something. Is Darcy saying, I've got a lot of emails waiting for me? With the other episode. Got a lot of emails. I was rewatching. For trivia, what happened? Are you okay?
My computer freaked out for a minute, but I'm back.
Oh no! Yeah, you didn't really do anything for me, so.
I know I couldn't hear what you were saying though.
Oh. Hmm.
It's fine. I'll listen to it on Wednesday.
It was about Darcy. Yeah, it wasn't important. I really think that. Just the message of like, people leave, you have to live your own life, is extremely transient. Like, it is applicable in this time when, especially, I remember the feeling of like, I am leaving my high school friends and I am making the transition into college. And it's a completely different feeling of having all these different people around you. And then not feeling so in touch with your home life until you go home and you're immersed in that again. And I mean, it's a little different for Marco because he is so close to his high school life. But there are things that are popping up and moving him and Dylan further apart. And that's adulthood. Like, unfortunately, you have to work really hard to stay close to each other in adulthood because life just wants to pull you in 7 million directions and all of them are exhausting. And talking to your friends, getting together with your friends without the situational, you know, bound, like of a college friend, of a like work friend, like you, without those kind of like situational elements, it is really hard to spend time with people. That's why people love work friends, because you see that person every day. It's like a school friend.
Right. And it's not that hard to go and like grab a drink after or right. like yep. be like, hey, let's do dinner Friday.
Mm-hmm. You're on the same schedule, which is a big part of not being able to mm-hmm. live with your friends.
You probably adulthood. Live fairly close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a lot different to grow up and like have friends that you don't have a common space to share with, like me and you. We have to work to, you know, we have the podcast. That's kind of our like virtual, you know, space that we've created that like we will talk because of our podcast. But outside of our podcast, like, you know, we text and stuff and we try to call each other, but life really does get to where I'm like, at
we
the end of the day,
sometimes
I'm like,
for a minute though,
I haven't talked to Caroline. Yeah, our schedules were much more favorable for a while. It switched up at the beginning of this year. The beginning of this year was kind of 2025. If I can not be lazy this year, I might do a year in review, because this year has been a lot. I'm excited to see how I finish it off, but man, this year is like kind of kicked my ass. And I'm not used to not having like a set schedule of where I know what I'm doing in 6 months in advance. Like, I love that. And I don't have that right now. So we had much, your schedule hasn't changed much in the last year. Mine has repeatedly.
Mm-hmm. So, like eight times.
And
somewhere in there was a sweet spot where we were literally talking like every minute that I wasn't working.
I feel like probably that was when I had just left Cantaloupe and was just doing YMCA mm-hmm. because that yeah. was the more I was working in the morning, and then I would be off the bulk of the day, and then I would go in at like two.
God, that was a beautiful time. Good news, Avis. The snow is expected to end in a few hours.
Snow? Yikes.
Yeah. Apparently the roads are like bad tonight. I didn't like really leave the house today except for once. So.
Well, if it's any of the... Damn! 36, bitch! The fuck? 30 degrees. I'm sorry. I just looked at my weather app. 30 degrees? Is this the life you live, Caroline?
Yeah.
Oh, bitch, I am taking the train. I am not fucking around. Hell no. This is only the beginning of November. Our yeah. nights are now 30 degree nights. Damn, bitch. That's crazy. Let me look at my I'm gonna flag that a fifth time. Let me look at my notes. Um, 600 smackaroonies. Oh, Avis, you're funny.
I can't believe he lost $1,100.
Oh, gosh. And also, why did he think that the same strategy would work twice? He's not a good liar.
He didn't have the same strategy either, because he didn't have spin, which was apparently part of his winning.
Spinner looking quite concerned, I think, is part of his whole thing. Spinner looking like violent, like he's going to be violently sick at the prospect of him putting all the money is what helps him in the first one. But then he goes in with the same, oh, I'm just going to like act like I don't know what I'm doing because I don't know what I'm doing. And maybe that'll throw, maybe that'll make them think that I'm like a wild card. And it's very clear that like, after he wins, he's like, oh, if you know, you know, if you know, then let me know or whatever. And he's like, I don't, like, he makes it obvious that he did not know what he was doing. That it was dumb luck. And then makes zero effort to improve. Yeah. Or do a different strategy. Or maybe let Spinner know. Because Spinner is uncomfortable the whole time. Spinner's just like, I didn't want to go.
Spinner's not there for the second game, though.
I think he is.
No, he's not. The second game is at Squatchware. Spinner's only there the first time he plays with Jay's guys. Yes,
he is. But the second game, they... so they play three times. They play the first night and they win. And then he comes to win it back the second night. And that's when he loses all his money. And he's like, I need a loan to buy back in. And then the boss breaks it up. And he's like, if y'all don't want to lose y'all jobs, get the fuck out of here. And then they go to Squatchware. So Spinner's with him twice.
Okay,
and
the third time,
he fucks up. Because he was up. The third time he came with a better strategy. He's up the third time. That's why he's like, I need to finish this hand, man. Let me finish this hand. What the fuck? Don't y'all have murders to solve? Like, that is when he's like, I'm up and I need to finish this hand. But the second hand, he does not have Spinner on board. Spinner is just looking like, dude, you're fucked. And he is not selling it the same way that he sold it the first time. And also the dude is onto him the second time. And he's like, no, you're bluffing. You're full of shit. I'm calling you. And it's not a good strategy. The third time was better. But also, it had to be better because that has to be, it got broken up because it was too good. And when he asked for a loan. Could have gotten away with
it too if it wasn't for those meddling cops.
For that fucking silent alarm. Marco's gonna be like 75 years old and like pop up in a cold sweat like silent alarm. Fuck.
Like, you had all the tools to get away with this, Marco.
He had all of the tools, and that's what's so funny. He would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for Dylan taking my brain with him to Switzerland. No, like, it's very, he's just
Sweden
worried about his game. Sweden, right? It's not.
No, it is Switzerland. Yeah.
I know. I like this joke though. It's a funny joke. I'm sure they get it all the time. Well, yeah, Spinner's in his I am better than you era, and Marco's in his I need to stop pointing fingers at everybody else and worry about me era.
And Ellie and Paige are still, just like,
yeah. Paige is still dating Jesse for some reason and waiting for his call. And Ellie's mad. Because she thought she could at least spin the block. She thought she had some, like, breakup sex or something coming her way. Not to, like, read the room. But I think she's very clearly was looking forward to that. Like, we've spent about a week apart. Now let's talk about it and see if we can...
Well, yeah, and also, though, imagine being as insecure as Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
And now and your ex is dating Paige Michaelchuk, who is, like, your enemy.
And probably one of the most confident, like, at least confident-seeming people that you know. Because we know Paige got some issues. But, you know, fake it till you make it. Or whatever Prince said. I just feel like Jesse is no one to have this fuss over.
No.
And I want to tell Ellie and Paige to just kiss because you guys seem like there's a lot of tension. Maybe if they're not gonna do it
though.
They're not, and they're cowards. You coward. Lesbianism is not always the answer, as Paige knows. So you can't just kiss a girl about it, okay? You guys, sometimes you gotta figure things out. I just can't with you right now. I just can't. Also, I didn't mention in our coverage of the last episode with Ellie, not Ellie, gosh, with Paige and Alex. But I am really upset that Alex was hosting Paige's episode of, I want to say The Price is Right, but no, what is it? The dating show? That show, the single show where you had like one person, like you had the single person on one side of the wall and then you had like their three bachelors or bachelorettes on the other side and they like answered questions blindly. Like that's what it's get. Like she's hosting a she's hosting a dating show for her ex, and it's weird. It's really weird. Why does she have to facilitate and be the yogi of your weird? I want to just like make out with people, multiple people in a day. Why does she have to facilitate that? That's weird. But I didn't say that in our coverage of that episode, so I wanted to insert it here. And I don't know that I have anything else to say.
I don't really know that I do either. Go Papa Del Rossi. Go Marco or Spinner for letting Marco spend the night in jail.
Mm-hmm. It's a wake up call.
I got 9 trivia questions out of this episode.
Are any of them having to do with the hands that they play in poker?
Damn it. I mean, I already did, but I feel like at least one of our trivia contestants is a Patreon subscriber. You know what, though? That's the unfair advantage you get from subscribing to Patreon. That's kind of the
unfair advantage you get. I forgot that, like, unedited release is a thing and that we're never truly off mic when we're on mic. You guys get that behind the scenes shit. But yeah,
So Fashion Corner?
I am really underwhelmed with Fashion Corner this week, but let's go.
Yeah, so kicking it off, I already said this, but Marco's dressing like he goes to like a preparatory school in the first scene, in the second scene, in all of the scenes where we see Marco.
And all of the terrible scenes with his fashion, because he's it's a lot of Marco. This season
it is what it is,
or this episode. Yeah, I don't, there's one in particular, I think he is in it's when they're at the club and he has on like, he's loosened his tie a little bit and he has like a button up and his tie is shiny. It's not a good and this preppy thing, we all were victim to it. Obviously preppy was a very big style in this and future time. But I don't like it on Marco. I much prefer when he dresses casual. I like his t-shirts and his jeans and his like scarves, like his bandanas. I like that Marco. I think that's much more of him. And I get that he's uptight, so the preppy thing can work for him, but I don't fuck with it. Too much fabric. It's all shiny.
I hear you. It's not very fuck withable. No. I have Darcy in the computer lab. I hate her extensions. And I hate whatever the like black. Yeah. It's giving that fucking ribbon that if she takes it off, her head will fall off.
Yeah. The head fall. You know, she. Do you know?
But I do love a like cute tee over a long sleeve tee. That was a good look. I liked that look. Yes. That look.
I will still fuck with that look on it if I can get the combo right, because t-shirts, they sometimes are weird. I think that her aesthetic is like Sherry Moon Zombie, which I unfortunately have seen way too many stills of her around this time. Rob Zombie's wife. That bitch loves a fucking newsboy cap and like a long sleeved fur trimmed coat and ratty extensions. The rattier the better. And that is what Darcy is giving in this episode, because she loves that hat, that newsboy hat. And she also just loves looking like her hair hasn't been brushed, nor combed, nor parted, nor dealt with in several days.
It's low key. Yeah, no, it's bad. It's unkempt.
It's unkempt. It's unwashed. And she out here kissing Peter every 2 seconds in the bitch. So I hope she's taking a shower. But it's giving I skipped the shower because our water's off. So I'm just going to cover it up and I'm just going to layer and I'm just going to hide this. I'm just going to hide my hair under a cap that she's not wearing in the red. Like, she's not wearing it in school. What, she just throws on the cap to go home? I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
My last fashion might be the caption contest photo for this episode. It's Darcy in the boiler room. Specifically this shot of her looking so sad. So forlorn. And like, again, she's doing the thing that I like, except I don't like the sleeves on the t-shirt.
Mm-hmm. The flutter.
It's not cute. It's not like the way that the flutter is supposed to be.
Yeah, well.
It's not. I'm sorry. Respectfully, it's not.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, disrespectfully, I don't care for Darcy. So it can be disrespectful. No,
if you
want to
die on that hill, I mean, that's fine.
Yeah, it's not a cute outfit. It's not a cute combo with the black thing across her her neck. I don't fuck with it. No one else should. I do like Spinner's parka. I don't know why when he comes and he tells them to take Marco to jail right now. Don't stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. 300? I don't know how many dollars. I think it's 200. His black parka just stood out to me, probably because I love a parka that doesn't look too big, like make the person look too big. But I also love how he has the parka open. I just think it's like antithetical to what a parka is used for. Mm-hmm. It's a very, like, you're wearing it because it's very cold out. Like, you should have that zipped up, cover that neck. He's just got it open. There's a t-shirt. I don't know. I like it.
You haven't lived in cold places, though.
I don't understand the fashion, and I never will.
I lied. I have one more, and it's Ellie's mini skirt here, which the way that her like shirt is over it makes it look like she's wearing like the skirt starts at her ass.
Yeah, she does that like a lot.
Halfway down.
Yeah, this is what I mean by like commit. If you're really gonna wear Y2K fashion, commit, because this is the kind of shit. Extra long camis are no longer a thing. I can't find a suitable cami to go under a Hollister sweater if I wanted to. It's gotta be at least like 4 inches under the sweater, 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. You're getting cropped everything now. That's what that is. That's an extra long cami that she pulled down over their skirt because there's a substantial amount of the skirt that she is covering.
Yeah, it's weird, and it makes it look like she's wearing like a micro mini.
It does.
That's resting halfway down her
ass.
It's a weird choice.
It's a weird choice that only Ellie makes, because nobody dresses like, I don't know, nobody wears those little skirts but Ellie. And maybe Darcy, but Darcy styles them differently. Yeah.
Do you have more fashion?
Hell no. This episode was so fucking boring.
For fashion. Okay. Well, we do have a hun. Paige says, not a big fan of democracy, hun. After Ellie's like, we should have voted on who got Dylan's room.
Yeah. Oh, right. As she's chasing her through that fucking
Which
house.
Is like, that's so dumb, right? Because, okay, so you each get a vote. They would cancel each other out. So then what? Marco, Kiko, and Suki are deciding
about the room that, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Very true. And ultimately pointless, which is why everybody ignored her. that's literally all I have to say about that.
So down to shots fired.
Pew, 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 pew. Shots fired.
Yeah, let's kick it. My first one was Spinner firing a shot at himself, I guess, or Jimmy, saying getting robbed once was enough, you know?
I have him telling Marco, you have an actively gay imagination.
Yes. Okay, so before that, I have Marco saying, oh, so it's been a week since Dylan left. Because, you know, with constant phone tag and no emails, it's like, poof, my boyfriend just disappeared off the face of the earth. And Spinner responds, last I heard, Sweden was still on Earth.
I have Spinner saying, or not Spinner, sorry, Jay saying, yes, you're gay. Super.
Yes. I love the way he says that. I have Paige saying, well, when Ellie gave me the green light to date her ex, I say she was just a touch colorblind. I'm sorry. I love that.
Ellie took that so personally.
I heard that. I heard that. Bitch, you were meant to. You were meant to. Stop lying.
I have Ellie telling Paige lots more closet space in my room.
I have Marco, as I mentioned earlier, saying even flame out Paige is starting over. Rude.
I have Ellie saying, don't let Princess always gets her way, bully you or manipulate you. She has a way with men.
Mm. I have Marco saying, okay, if you want to keep giving me your money, I'll gladly keep taking it.
Okay, so I have Marco saying in response to the fighting, shut up. I'm not going to referee your cat fights about the room, Jesse, or anything. Just work it out yourselves. He's jonesing.
He is. Like, fuck, I don't have time. I need to think about where I'm getting my next, where I'm stealing my next wad of cash. Or no, he didn't steal yet, but he's going to. He's going to. Just the way that Kim says, wish your grandma a happy birthday for me.
Yeah. Okay, I have some before that, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't do their whole exchange because it was all really pretty weak. But mm-hmm. I have Peter saying submit to ugliness much, and or Darcy saying submit to ugliness much, and Peter saying, can you see through all that eye fat? And then I also have Marco saying of himself, I'm mashed potatoes, man. I'm boring.
Yeah, that's pretty tea. Because he is. I have Mr. Del Rossi saying, you abused your friends and your family because playing cards was more important. Now, no matter what Dylan is to you, he's not a part of this. And you know that.
Ooh. My last one is Marco at the police saying, don't you guys have some sort of murder you could be solving?
Yeah, that's fly. And I don't know, it's like the disappointed line. Like this line hits me, and this is my last one. Mr. Del Rossi saying, and if you have any honor, you'll come and see me at the shop to work off what you stole. People leave, Marco. You have to live your own life.
Yeah. Mr. Del Rossi, speak it. I feel like that wasn't the greatest sound.
I don't know. That sounded like ass cheeks clapping.
I love you. And like the last 15 minutes have been so like clank, 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 clank.
I really hope that that's not on camera on mic. I also have faith in Riverside to take that shit out. I am sorry.
I know, but
here's when having a visual medium will probably do us favors. This is a mason jar, and this is a metal straw, because I don't like glass ones and I don't trust glass straws. That's weird. And it is an extremely obnoxious combination that I will not bring to recording again. Okay?
Thank you. Because that was about to be my 13th reason.
I'm so sorry. I just had to finish my Celsius because that's literally what's keeping me alive right now. Even though caffeine doesn't work on me. Figure that one out. ADHD. Anyway.
I think it's safe to say that Mr. Del Rossi fucking shines this episode.
Well, yeah, he's doing the work of a father. He's a father, okay? And he's trying to raise a man. Not a little boy, a man. And I appreciate that. So yes, he shines.
I appreciate it, too. I think
Spinner's also trying to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Marco, I'll make a man out of you.
Oh gosh. He's really like, it's him being like he's a part-time employee. I almost made that a shots fired because it's like the disdain of like, bitch, you have no response. Like, just because you're daddy, like, no. This is not your gambling right? den, bitch. Part-time employee.
I told you to knock this off. You lost $1,100, Marco.
Yeah, it's hilarious. He shines because he is really trying. He's really trying to keep him on the straight and narrow, and it's so hard. That boy just want to be curvy.
Does anybody else shine?
No. I wouldn't say no. So, because Peter and Darcy, Kim is not a, no, Kim gets, she is just, no one.
Nope, so who bums us out besides everybody?
Besides Darcy, Peter, Margo,
Ellie, Paige,
yeah. Those are all the characters that we have to speak of right now.
That really is. Yeah, I really, like, there's nobody. Jimmy's there for a minute. Jimmy is there neutral.
For, like, literally a minute. Like, he is literally there a minute. That boy rolled through the scene. He rolled through and he didn't stop. yeah, that's it.
I guess on that note,
does it go there?
Does it go there?
Well, you would think with gambling, I think.
Yeah, but it just doesn't.
It's so, it's like there's gambling and then there's like a gambling related like arrest. And typically arrests.
I know. It's got all the elements, but it just doesn't.
I think it's what, no, I don't think that it goes there. I just think that it actually gives, this is probably one of the only episodes in this season that I think has really great advice that's applicable for anybody at any age. And I don't know that I can say that about really any other episode, though this does not go there. It's just, it's not sensate. It's not like.
That's very real and very valid. You have convinced me. I will allow it.
You're like, I'm done. I wasn't trying to convince y'all. I was just saying.
No, I know, but you make a solid argument.
Yeah, I just think that, like, it really does speak to me that, like, people leave. You have to live your own life. You really do. You cannot live for someone else. That's a bar, Degrassi. That is a bar. There's been several bars in this episode. One of them was at the very top with the correspondent. We corresponded. And yeah, this is one too. So yeah, I mean, I don't know that it goes there in the traditional sense that we always speak of, but like, you know, it doesn't like, it's maybe, I don't know that I want it to go there. I think it's just like an argument for it could go there, but
it hits.
Yes. It hits an emotional note that I think that resonates with me more and more as I get older.
So it's like when you are on the road trip and you stop, like, it's not your destination, but you stop and you see like Niagara Falls and you're like, damn, that's poignant.
Yeah. Like I'm gonna be there soon. Right. I'm getting there.
Well, I think it's more of a like the true journey is the things we learn along the way or some shit.
Yes. Well, yeah. Yes. That's a great bow on that. Mm-hmm. Let's go with that. Alrighty. Thanks for listening to Your Mom's Padcast. Next time, we'll be joined by friend of the pad, Vivian Delacour, to watch Jay Hogarth usher in yet another spiral in Don't You Want Me, Parts 1 and 2. This episode of Your Mom's Padcast was made possible in part by Del Rossi Printing and Designs, Tony's Garage, and support from listeners like you. Shank ya. We would like to take a moment to thank our patrons. Tay,
Evie,
Iggy,
Alex,
Gina,
Carrie,
Miranda,
Christine,
and a special thanks to our Titty Snake producers, the Degrassi Generations Facebook group,
Brandy,
Corey,
Tawny,
Chelsea,
and Alika. Thanks, guys.
I love you guys. Thank you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast. PAHDCAST. Thank you.